Welcome to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Joyous conversations about what the afterlife evidence and modern science combine to tell us is true about our one reality. You have nothing to fear. You are eternal and you are perfectly loved. Knowing the truth changes everything. Now, here's Roberta.
Welcome to Seek Reality. I'm Roberta Grimes, and I'm delighted that you could be with us today. As you know, our Seek Reality mandate is extremely broad. We're following the truth wherever it leads us, and if a guest can help you better understand what reality is, how it works, and how your better understanding of these truths can help you live your own best life, then I try to reach out and arrange a visit with that guest for you. Now, a couple of years ago, a man approached me at a conference. This was back in a million years ago when I was actually doing conferences. I think I just had given a workshop on my book, Liberating Jesus, but where I, of course, would have made the point that learning how to apply better gratitude, forgiveness, and love is the key to achieving real spiritual growth. And growing spiritually is the entire reason why we're here. Well, this very nice-looking and really polite gentleman approached me after that workshop, and he told me he was a behavioral and non-invasive injury and pain management specialist. And that he uses gratitude, forgiveness, and love to work. What really, when he told me this story, sounded to me like miracles. I really, back then, I was thinking a lot differently because I saw my whole sort of venue as teaching you that your life is eternal, teaching you what death and the afterlife are actually like, teaching you that we how to grow spiritually. I thought that was a rather really a heavy plate as it was for me. But I've become a lot more interested in the edges of what I do, because what I'm finding is that the mandate that we really have, you and I, is to understand everything. And to talk about the kinds of things that Dr. Petrus does is really going to be very important for us to come to understand that aspect of reality, because in fact our minds are extremely powerful. Our minds can do just about anything. My new friend was persistent, actually. He would every so often send me an email and say, well, what about now? And I'd say, I'm going to get to the point where I can do this. And I'm glad he persisted. Thank you, sir, for persisting, because this is a very important topic to me now, which it wasn't before. Dr. Raymond Petrus, I think that's how I say his name, is a behavioral and non-invasive injury and pain management specialist. He's a sports consultant and international lecturer, author, professor, and researcher. He's the developer of something called psychoneuropain response, which is PNPR for short. And he tells us that it's a safe, quick, and effective behavioral and pain management technique. I'm dying to hear about this one. He also served on the Arizona Governor's Obesity Commission. He can help you with that, too, for the workplace. And he co-chaired Infinite Health, which is an alternative medicine organization. He's a track coach. He's done so many things in the field of helping people to better perform using their bodies. He's been an adult educator, an adjunct faculty member at various places. He really has gotten around. We're so glad you're with us finally, Dr. Petrus. Thank you so much for your patience with me.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate that. It has been a route to get to you.
Well, it primarily was because I was still very sort of limited in the things I was interested in. I'm much more interested now. So I'm eager to have you share what you know about how people can use their minds to better manage their bodies, or how consultants like you might be able to help them if they have a problem. I mean, we all have our aches and pains, and we have some more serious problems, too, that you might be able to help. Now, I understand that you're a chiropractor by training, right? Is that
true? No, that's not correct. No. I have a PhD in psychology, but I started out in chemical engineering.
Oh, my goodness.
And then 3M.
Where would I have I've gotten that. I thought somewhere in your biography that made me think, he must be a chiropractor. But that's fine. My husband is a physician, retired now, who was always very cranky about chiropractic. So I was going to tell you that story. But it's just as well. I mean, a biochemical engineer, or whatever it was that you were doing as a scientist, is probably an even better background. So you were doing that, right? That was your career. And how did you beyond that?
Well, that's a real interesting story in itself. You know, I was working for DuPont in Richmond, Virginia, and then I went to work for 3M in Minnesota. When I was in Virginia, I worked with DuPont, like I said, working in a plant. And when I was transferred to work for 3M in Minnesota, I was working in the area of development, research and development. So my job at that time was to come up with new products. Well, in school, they taught you the formulas and they taught you how to come about doing things by the formulas. But at 3M, they wanted me to create things that never been created before. And I wondered, well, how do you do that? And so I thought, well, the mind, psychology, you know. So I went back to school at the University of Minnesota and studied psychology.
Wow. Good for you. So you tuned up your mind first before you tried to think be far outside the lines. I've never heard of anyone who's ever done that. I think that's great.
Well, it is interesting because I just thought that, the mind was, just like you said earlier in the introduction, is very powerful. And I also at that time was, I was studying, they had at 3M some hypnotists come in. Now, these were lay hypnotists. They weren't physicians or anybody in the medical community doing hypnosis. And I went to the talk, and I thought, man, this is corporate America. This is 3M. Why do they have these type of people coming here? Because I'm from a steel town in Ohio, and I didn't disbelieve it, but I really didn't know much about it. And I went to the meeting, and they people were talking. Then they did tests. They said, like, close your eyes, you know, imagine your hands being tightly locked. Your hands will get tightly locked. The more we talk, your hands will become tightly locked. And when we tell you to open them, they won't open. And I'm kind of shortening the story. But I opened my hands. But I looked around at people. Some people did. Some people didn't. A lot of people didn't. And then they did some more tests. They did some more talking. And then you close your eyes. Your eyes will become tightly locked. The more you keep them locked, the tighter they become. And when you try to open them, they won't open. And I opened my eyes. But
you
other
know,
people
you
didn't. And I thought,
that's embarrassing for the instructor that you were able to do that.
Well, there were 300 people there, so they didn't even know that I was probably there.
Okay.
But there were other people that didn't do that also. And what happened was, and I thought to myself, well, you know, why are people opening their eyes or not opening their eyes? You know, and are they lying to themselves when they can't open their eyes, or what's the deal? And so I thought, if they're lying to themselves, why would they lie? If they're not doing that, how come I can't do that? So anyways, kind of shortened the whole story. I got involved with the organization. I got more interested in hypnosis and the mind. I continued with the schooling. I got so good at it, I was on television. Because people were, like you mentioned earlier, too, in your talk, that I was working with hypnosis for weight loss. I was looking for smoking cessation and self-confidence. And I was on television, and a cancer specialist, oncologist, saw me. And he says, I saw what you're doing with the mind. Can you use the mind to reduce pain so I can reduce the amount of medications I'm giving my patients? They're so drugged up, they're just existing. They don't know their families or anything, and I'd like to help. So I said, literature said this is possible. I said, let's give it a try. And so we were very successful at that. I mean, we didn't have anybody get up and say, I'm cured or anything like that, but we were able to successfully, safely reduce the amount of medications that we were giving the patients, or he was giving the patients, by using mental techniques. And so that's kind of how I got into that area. And as I got into the area, I got involved with the Minnesota Society of Clinical Hypnosis. And they told me, after I was in it, that, you know, you have an engineering degree. This isn't really, you know, what we can do. But So I had to go back to school for not only my undergrad, but psych. I had to get a master's. And then they said, well, you know, master's really doesn't go too far. So now you need a doctorate. So.
Oh, you're kidding. Wow. Did you do a doctorate too?
So I have a doctorate in respiratory pain management. Yes. Uh-huh.
Well, my hat goes off to you. Very few people are willing to undertake that level of education. Was it worth it, or do you think you did most on your own rather than through did you need the credential? Did you need the education behind it?
You know, I learned everything that I before I actually got the degree that said, you know, now I'm allowed to do this.
Wow.
I mean, that wasn't exactly the case. I was allowed to do it otherwise, but it's just that I remember when I would call and tell people and what's happening, what I'm seeing, what I'm observing, and they say, well, what's your background? I say, well, I'm an engineer, and they hang up.
right.
But once I called and said, this is Dr. Petrus, they listened.
So yes.
It was very worthwhile. Plus, I got to work with and see a great portion of what I do is not just pain management and non-invasive pain management, but it's also performance. How do you do whatever it is that you do better? That was my whole goal when I got involved with the mental aspect
psychology. So you're teaching people, or you're helping, is it all hypnosis that you're doing primarily, or maybe variations of hypnosis?
Well, I didn't really call, after a while, I didn't call hypnosis anymore because there's still people who have problems with it. And I thought mine was a little bit different than hypnosis in general. I was labeled that because what do you do? You know, people would ask me, what do you do? I think you know, remember the name Norman Shealy.
Uh-huh.
Norman Shealy started the first pain clinic in the United States, and he was out of Gunderson Clinic in Wisconsin. And he was actually on my doctoral committee.
Huh.
He was one of the professors that was on my doctoral committee. So we would learn to do different things. And I just kept following up, but I was working with performance, and I went excuse me, to study in Canada because nobody in the United States was interested in my work.
Oh, goodness.
Excuse me, I got a cough. And so that's how I got involved, and I got my PhD and did a lot of the research up in Canada, and they came back and started working in Minnesota, and then eventually moved to Arizona.
So let's talk a little bit more specifically about what you do. People have a pain or an injury or something which is difficult for them to control the pain from. Your technique is able to reduce the pain, and so they need much less medication. Is that what it is that you're doing, is kind of your core thing?
It's that and much more. It also changes behavior at the same time, and many times it actually eliminates the pain totally when other modalities have been able to do things. So give me an example. First of all, I want people to understand that I'm not the primary care person. You know, if a person is hurt, they go to their physician, they go to ER or whatever need, or they may be sent to a specialist. I'm usually been the last resort, but more as doctors and other people know about what I do, I'm becoming an adjunct, you know, along with
that's what you need to be, right?
Procedures that are going on. And it works better, I think, that way. But the first thing I was doing is, like I told you, I was really interested in performance and not interested in pain or anything else at all. And I was working with a football team in Minnesota for performance. And they were breaking records, becoming All-Americans. The quarterback threw 5 touchdown passes, and the runners were breaking all kind of records. And the coach said, man, this mental stuff's pretty good. Can you do anything with injuries? And so I told him what he did with cancer. He said, hey, it's Friday afternoon now. It's about 2 o'clock. He said, I got 3 people, they're important people, 2 fullbacks and middle linebacker.
Wow.
They're not supposed to play tomorrow. They're injured. I said, I could sure use them. Can you do anything? And I told them what we did. They said, well, let's give it a try. So we brought in, this is the first fellow I worked with. He had a partial shoulder separation. He had limited range of motion. He said, my pain is about 80, 85 out of 100. He says, I'm supposed to block off of that shoulder and my arm. He says, I can't even lift my arm. He says, I can't play.
Oh.
I said, well, let's sit down and see what's possible. And without going through everything, we shorten the story. In 20 minutes, he had full strength, full range of motion, no pain, and he played the next day.
How is that possible? I don't see how that's possible. Wow.
Well, just kind of before I answer that, we went and got the other two players, and one had a partial shoulder separation and meniscus damage, and the other one had a grade 2 ankle sprain, and both of them walked out of the office, and all three played the next day and played well. You can even go on YouTube
amazing.
And watch one of the players. But yeah, the thing was, is this technique that I call PNPR, psychoneural pain response, and that's actually based on what Sheely asked me one time. She said, what do you call what you do? I said, I don't know.
I'll come up with
the name.
Right.
So psycho has to do with, you know, the psychology part, you know, the thought process. Neuro has to do with the physiology, and then it's a response to pain. So it's a good deal. But people still don't know what it was. Doctors liked it, but I call it talking away pain. People still don't know what it means, but it sounds like you talk, pain goes away, and that's basically what happens. But kind of getting back real quick to this.
Could I stop and ask you that? What does that mean, talking away the pain? Because I could talk myself blue in the face and I'm not going to lose pain, or anybody else is not going to lose pain because I talk. What's different about the way that you talk that helps it happen?
That's a real good question. So let me get back to that football player, which I give you an idea, is that he had partial shoulder separation. And I said, well, sit down, take a deep breath, close your eyes. And again, I'll shorten the story for time here. And he did. And I says, well, how you feel? He said, geez, I feel better. I says, well, what do you mean? He says, well, my pain gone down. I says, do you think it's gone down? He says, yeah, I went down from about 85 to 80. And I says, I wonder if there's anything else happening. He goes, I think so. I says, well, what do you mean? He says, well, my hands feel different. I said, really? He said, yeah, one hand feels lighter than the other. I said, I wonder if there's any connection with pain. And he went, I think so, because my pain is 65. I said, 65? I said, do you think it's 65? He said, no, he moved his shoulder. He said, no, it's 65. I said, geez, I wonder if your hand continues to get lighter, if the pain will continue to go away or go down. And it did, and it went to zero. And at that point, his hand got light, his pain went to zero, and we went and saw the coach, and he's the one to play the next day. So I talked. He was giving me basically as a biofeedback. In other words, the PNPR, as I call it, is a combination of well-known techniques found in literature. It's not magic. It allows the body to act as its own biofeedback mechanism. In other words, it was telling us what we needed to do. You know, how interesting is it to notice your hand getting lighter? If he focused on his shoulder in pain, he'd have been in more pain. But his mind gave him something interesting to focus on as it removed the pain safely.
Oh, my heavens. But that makes sense. It does make sense. Your mind, what you're doing is empowering the mind to work directly with the body. And it's giving you cues about how to make that happen better. That's the only way I could explain it. What I mean, why isn't everybody doing this if it works this well?
Well, that's a good question. Maybe we have to get more people. You know, we've done this, interesting enough, in sports. We've done it right on the sideline where a fellow was injured, came off the sideline, saw the trainer, came over to me, and he said, I can't play. I'm not going to be able to play. And he was hit with a helmet from the opposing team in his arm, and he couldn't squeeze the ball or move his hand. And as the play was going on, we were sitting on the sideline. the noise is pretty severe. And I worked with him for one set of downs, and he went out and played the rest of the game.
It's like a miracle. I mean, what you do really must be in demand, because I know how important it is that these players be able to play when they're supposed to be playing. I mean, this is heavy stuff. Wow. You work in other fields of sports too, right?
I work with basically in business. I worked with the city of St. Paul workers' comp, which in use in general is the worst of the worst. People say, well, is this thing whatever? But we saved in 1998, working with the city of St. Paul, over $1 million, and we published that. We published that in the California Workers' Comp Endeavor Journal. And so, it not only works, but it saves a lot of money.
And, yes. But just to make people comfortable is an important thing. But what you're doing is enabling them to do what they're supposed to be doing by overcoming the pain. That strikes me as amazing. I didn't even know there was a way to do that. And you help with other things, too. People who need to lose weight, you can help them, right?
Right. Right, that, you know, I started with working with smoking, weight, you know, it's changing behavior is more what it is than necessarily just looking at pain management. I was looking at maybe to change what I call what I do, because people just think of pain as physical pain, but it's not. But it goes up beyond that. I mean, I worked through interpreters, people who don't speak English. I work over the phone a lot. I had It's getting back to the Gunderson Clinic. The head cardiologist I met one day at a big soccer tournament in Minnesota. We were on the medical team. And his wife, about 3 years later, had cancer. And he called me up. He says, Ray, he says, my wife just been diagnosed with cancer. She had breast surgery and biopsies and a lot of pain. Can you work with her? Well, I was in Arizona and she was in Wisconsin. So I said, well, after office hours. And so we worked together about an hour and 20 minutes, and her pain was completely gone. So we were talking post-op. She had the operation, and we worked and got her pain to relieve. And on Monday, so this is Friday, Monday, she was going to have a biopsy. I mean, the margin surgery to see if the cancer had progressed. And so we worked on her Saturday in preparation for her surgery. On Tuesday, he emailed me and said that Patty went through the surgery, and the surgical nurse called and asked how you were doing, how the pain meds working. And she says, well, she says, based on my work over the phone, she says, I have no pain, I'm not having any pain, and I don't need any pain meds.
Wow. So how long does it last? If someone has a session with you and the pain goes away, does it gradually come back? Or how long does it last?
Everybody's different, but hers didn't come back. And in fact, months later, I saw her and she introduced herself to me at the tournament because their kids played in this tournament. And she said, I want to tell you the rest of the story, kind of like Paul Harvey.
Yes.
Page two. Or
oh, yeah.
And she said, I've had three subsequent operations, and none of the cases have I needed anesthetic at all.
That's anesthetic? Are you serious? That is incredible.
That's what she did. She's a former nurse, and he's a head cardiologist, so we could confirm all I'm saying.
Oh, my goodness. Magic. So let's explain that. So what you must have done then is to train her mind to do this independently of you, right? To control its pain, the pain in the body. How else would you explain it? Because that's insane.
Well, the thing is, I'm not training anything. It's what we're capable of as human beings. We just don't know it. And all I would do in many cases is like basically pay attention to what the person's giving me and feedback like I did for a football player. And getting over to when I worked through an interpreter one time, this lady came in to the clinic and for 3 hours, 3 hours, told me her story of beatings, rapes, killings, deportations. And I'm going, what can I possibly? And she, because of all this, she was been beaten. She had physical pain. She had emotional pain.
Oh, sure.
And I'm thinking, what can I say? What can I possibly say or do to help this person? And we all have these times. I had an intuition at the end of it. And I said, you know, I think I could help. Would that be okay? And she said, yes. I said, but you have to give me something first. Would that be okay? And then I made sure the interpreter told her this is a free clinic because she'd been beaten and extorted. So she finally agreed, and I said, you know what I want? She says, what? And I said, I want, and this is all through an interpreter again. I said, I want your shoes. She says, you want my shoes? I says, yeah. I said, but they're not very good. She says, how am I going to get home? I says, well, I don't know. Would you rather have your shoes or the pain? So she laughed and she says, okay, you can have my shoes. And I said, you know. And that's what she did. She laughed like that. I said, I don't really want your shoes. I just wanted to make you laugh because with the story you told me, it was just incredible.
Oh, that's so funny. But really?
I asked her one question. I said, I have for you. How much pain do you have? She absolutely had no pain, physical pain whatsoever. She had full range of motion, and all I did is make her laugh. So getting back to the point, I don't have to teach anything. All I have to do is give the people an opportunity to allow the system, mind, body, spirit, to do what it needs to do to heal the person to what level it can at that time.
So you empower the mind to heal the body or to take away the pain in the body. So it's really a form of empowerment then, because the mind doesn't know what it's capable of doing.
Absolutely. The conscious mind.
Yeah. Well, that's right. I mean, most of our mind, of course, is unconscious. We know that. But that is just great. All right. So I'm delighted about that. Now let's talk about the people who are depressed, the people who are overeating, the people who are having trouble giving up smoking. Is that also that PNPR, or is it a different process you use?
Well, you know, everybody's different and everybody's case is a little bit different also. But in general, I follow the same pathway. I try to find out, you know, you tell a person the mind's important, you know, they kind of know that. And you tell them emotions are important, yeah, they kind of know that.
Yes.
And then but how do you prove it to somebody? You know, I had an Olympic athlete, who actually was an Olympian at the time, come to me and he said, my coach wants me here. If you work with me with performance, he says, I don't believe in this crap. He said a lot of different things.
Yeah. Pretty
bad. I don't believe in it. He said, prove to me that this works. And I said, well, literature says, he said, hey, I don't care about literature. Prove to me it works. I said, well, the people I work with, he says, I don't care about the people I work with. I don't care about literature. He says, prove to me that it works. And at that time, I was really early on in my practice. And I said, well, you know, I don't know how to do that right now. But if you give me a chance, let me show you something. If you don't like it, I'm not going to badmouth you to the coach or anything like that. And he liked that. He liked I didn't say, I'm the doctor. You listen to me. And we actually did do very well, and he went to the Olympics. But he had a good point. You know, how do I prove to people that this is important and this is good for them? And so what I come up with is almost everybody that I see at some point or other have some physical ailment. And so if like I could do with that football player, I could show him or them or her that they can control that pain by reducing it, eliminating it, or doing something with it, I got them. Because now they know that they did it and that they've been empowered and that they don't have to wait for somebody from the outside to come inside and fix anything, that they are able to do it. Now, they may still have terrible socioeconomic conditions. They may be very poor and a bunch of stuff and hard to change every aspect. But you know they know that they did it.
Yes.
And so that's the key. So no matter what it is, whether people are coming to me for weight loss or whatever, I'm looking at that particular aspect. There's other things that are involved. It's not that simplistic. But if I could show them and empower them, like you talked about earlier, too, you got them. And so now they know that they're able to do things, you know, especially people who are, Hispanic, like here in Arizona, who don't have a lot of money and things like that. I'm not saying that they're the ones that don't have a lot of money, but a lot of the immigrants and things. And
yes.
All falls in a similar type of way. Because the system could fix it. And the real neat thing I was telling you is when I was in Canada doing research.
Yes.
And the doctor and that I was working with is the doctor for the Canadian Olympic teams and the University of Ottawa Sports Medicine Clinic. And people were coming to him, and he was doing research with me. And he said, you know, you got to talk to this doctor from the United States. He's doing some interesting work. So they approached me and said, would you work with our athletes? I said, well, sure. The more we're going to do, the more we're going to learn. And so after about 3 weeks, they came to me and he said, what are you doing to our athletes? I thought they were going to deport me. You know, what do you mean, what am I doing to your athletes? And he said, well, not only are they better physically and their pain's gone, but on a world-class level, their performance has jumped.
Wow.
He said, what are you doing? I says, well, you know, you can't just deal with an injury. You see, if their mother's sick, that's going to affect them. If they're flunking out of school, that's going to affect them. If their boyfriend or girlfriend's leaving them, that's going to affect them. I said, but why this is happening, I'm not sure. So let's get everybody together, which we did, and I'm shortening the story. And I asked the question, and the athletes were there, and the coaches, trainers, doctors, nurses, everybody, male, female athletes. And one athlete says, I'll speak for everybody. When we saw this happening, we got together and talked, and here's what we came up with. When we were hurt and the doctor said, do this, that's generally what we did. But if next week were nationals and we had to make the national team to get our training paid for or go to the Olympics, frankly, we didn't. He said, most of the time we hurt ourselves worse and we're unable to go to the Olympics or make the team.
Oh.
Sometimes we're able to make the team, but we still were too hurt to perform. But when you showed us we can do things we didn't know we can do, we wondered what else are we capable of.
Yes.
And they just did it. They just
that makes
got better. I didn't
sense.
Think of visualization, imagery, or anything. They just got better.
Yeah, that makes a great deal of sense. Because so much of what impairs us in any aspect of our lives is the fact that we don't believe we can do this or that. I mean, if someone walked in and said, I can't believe any of this, I'd say, well, then it's not going to happen for you. But you were kinder than that. But what you're doing is really then empowering people to use their minds in ways they didn't even know would be possible for them. And that's very exciting. I'm so happy you're doing that. So Ori, if someone has a specific problem like, smoking or depression, do you see them frequently, or do you have a regular schedule to do that to help them get over whatever it is a kind of mental as opposed to physical problem?
Well, I tell people that the problem is that I think most people say you're going to have this forever.
Yes.
There's always a possibility. It's possible, and so I tell people, like anything, I expect results to happen quickly, whatever that is. I don't know what that would be. But you have to give me some time to teach you things and show you different things. So I recommend, somewhere around 5 sessions or so, depending on the situation. When we work with the City of St. Paul Workers' Comp, we sometimes had to do 10 sessions or more. But generally, it wasn't that big or a great deal of sessions that were necessary to make changes.
So it tends to be permanent then, that they basically empowered themselves, right, to be able to do things they didn't know they could do.
Right.
I think that's fabulous.
That's what we're seeing. You mentioned a little bit, though, of what if a person doesn't believe in, and it really doesn't make any difference whether they believe me or not. And I had a lady was doing a demonstration at the City of St. Paul Police Department. They brought in the person they were supposed to bring in didn't show up, and so they had a lady come in, and I said, well, the person didn't hear. Is there anybody here who's in pain? And one therapist says, I brought somebody just in case. And the lady sat down, and I said, would you mind working here? And she said, no. And I said, good. And she says, tell me your problem. She had bad headaches, and she had other kinds of back problems. And she says, but doctor, I've had 8 operations. Nothing's worked. I'm in terrible pain. I had headaches now, a bad headache, and I don't think you do a darn bit of good, but go ahead. You think they'd at least bring somebody who wanted to do this,
Yes.
But I said,
yes.
Ma'am, I appreciate. I can't even comprehend what you just told me, how much pain that you've had.
Yeah.
I said, it's amazing. But I asked one question for you. I said, do you want this pain or not? And she said, no. And in 20 minutes, it was gone. Now, with her, I knew she was going to talk herself out of it, and I kept trying to get a hold of her to come back. And after about 3 months, she was pain-free. She did come back, but she talked herself back.
Wow. everybody is different. So a lot of what you're doing really is psychological, coming to understand what's going on behind what people are saying or the way they're acting, but what's going on in their minds.
We've had some fantastic results, and I think I sent you a couple of things. One is with healing bone breaks.
Yes.
The other one is concussions that are big nowadays, having successful work with relieving concussion symptoms. There isn't very much out there for concussions, Rand. There's a lot of work on concussions for education, diagnosis, and baseline studies, but there's very few that, you know, they have people rest and take a little Tylenol. But we've been able to find that you get people back without concussion symptoms, so they go back to school and a whole bunch of other things. So it's exciting.
Really? Well, that is mm-hmm. very exciting. Are you teaching others to do what you do, your technique?
You know, that's something that has to happen in next. I'm not, I did, you know, somebody asked me one time, is this something that only you can do? And there's two cases. One, I did some demonstrations to a group of physical therapists in Minnesota. We did a weekend seminar. They went back and I had good results and they sent me letters. And then I did a presentation in Canada at a conference, sports psychology conference. And there was a contingent from Sweden that was there. And they wanted me to do a talk just for the group because they had to leave and they were going to miss the one I was going to give to the organization. And so I was presenting to them, and it took somebody out of one of the mental trainers, and their pain went away. They're excited. And on the way back on the plane, which I think it's a 12-hour trip or something, there was a lady who had a lot of pain, and she just was beside herself. And
oh.
And the one fellow said, you know, I watched him. Let me see if I can. So he watched what I did that one time. I don't know what he said to her, but anyways, he says, I got the letter, and he says her pain went away and never did come back. So watching what I did.
Unbelievable. Wow.
So
you should be teaching this. What are you holding back from the world? This is important that you're able to do this.
Well, it's still getting out to the who wants to learn it, you know?
Yeah, and, but I would think so many people would.
Well, it's when you... You know, when you're doing everything yourself, in a way, it's a little bit tougher. So that's,
yeah.
I would love to teach, sit down and teach. I have some folks from India who have been asking me to do some teaching, but I haven't got to that point to go to India yet to do that. Maybe.
Well, it's do you write for journals and things so that you're showing people what's possible, write case studies, that sort of thing?
We have... We wrote, like I said, when I worked for the city of St. Paul, the workers' comp, we did do the workers' comp issue. And we had a really neat case at the big soccer tournament I was telling you where I met this doctor who I worked with and ended up working with his wife.
Uh-huh.
It was a big soccer tournament in Minnesota where they have about 50-some soccer fields in one place. And they have about 14,000 people that used to come from around the world, from Saudi Arabia even, I believe, at the time. And I worked with they had a patient who had broken, actually cracked his radial bone. And normally they send him to an ER with general and local hematoma block and general, you know, and general anesthetic also. And the orthopedic doctor said, after watching you for 2 years, I think we can do it here with your help. And so anyways, I talked the kid through the whole procedure right there as he did this. He set his bone instead of sending him to the hospital.
Wow.
His mother was a nurse was there, and I got a letter from the clinic director and the orthopedic surgeon and stuff. And he came after we did that. He came to me and said, you know, that was amazing. He said, but I thought of something else. I said, what's that? He said, not only did we save him a trip, he said, but we saved him, the insurance company and the family about $15,000 to $25,000.
Well, yes,
we didn't need a hospital. We didn't need transport. We didn't need just hotel, food, and everything else. So he said, "This is amazing." But that, anyways, we wrote that one up in Practical Pain Management. So we did do the article on that. You know, we never heard anybody reply to it. So you think it's amazing, but
What's wonderful to me is that you are on the cutting edge, literally ahead of what's about to happen in the world, because as people come to understand how powerful their minds are, you've got this body of experience and knowledge and history of having done this for so long. I have a feeling that the world will beat a path to your door, not the other way around, because this is very important what you're able to do. I mean, so many people have chronic pain. I have a dear friend who has cancer. I know other people. I know me who has a chronically painful knee. So if you're able to help people to get past big and little causes for pain so that they can get on with their lives, that is terrifically powerful. I'm so glad that we finally get to do this, Ray. I got to share you a little bit. I said, I'm so glad we finally got to talk, because now I can share. I'm really sharing you with the world, and we'll have to see where this can take us. But is there anything you particularly want people to know about pain, about the nature of it, about how they can, you know, help their problem, their pain symptoms? Is there anything that you'd like people to know especially?
Well, you know, there's a very, very simple process. I work with physicians and people in the pain industry, I guess, if you will, the pain community, pain management. And what I hear a lot of is, you know, here's your condition. Here's what's going to happen. And we feel you're going to be with it the rest of your life, or, you know, similar type of things, or we've done all we can. And I tell them, I said, you know, I know legally you have to tell people what where they're at. But I said, if you added just one couple sentences afterwards, it would be very helpful in that. And that would be, you know, here's your condition, Roberta. You know, and this is what most people have. But, you know, sometimes people get better. And if you and I work together, maybe we can make that happen. And if all they said was something like that at the end, you know, people have, what's the difference? They have hope. You're not saying that this will occur, but you're giving them an opportunity. I even have on my business card, give yourself permission to get better.
It's like Qigong, okay. Medicine, which is all mind. I mean, this is a Chinese form of medicine that works. It's all mind. Mm. I mean, I have seen things done by Qigong practitioners that would boggle people. I mean, including surgery, mm-hmm. without anesthesia, all this sort of stuff, and also acupuncture. Who the heck knows why that works, but it does. So what you're doing is another of those techniques where the powerful mind is engaged. But you're right, just saying, you know, this isn't so bad. A lot of people get better from this. A lot of people don't have pain anymore after a little while from this. Then they sort of change their perspective. They start seeing not despair, but possibilities. And all that by itself, it seems to me, would be a big reason why this works.
Well, you know, we have to, it's really tricky on how you say things, you know, to a person. You try to set them up for all success. And so that's the trickiest, if there's a trick about it. There's a little philosophy that there's two actually philosophies that I look at. And one was, I picked out a library of Earl Bakken, who was the founder of Medtronic in Minnesota and the around the world now, but he's passed away recently. But he was a big believer in alternatives. And there was a book I got in his library and it was written by Deluge. He's a hypnotist. And they called it back then magnetizing when Mesmer first started this. And here's the philosophy he had. And it goes like this. While you are magnetizing, you must occupy yourself wholly with the cure of the patient to whom you've devoted your time. You must not investigate. You must not take note of anything. You must withdraw from all prejudices, opinions, and knowledge. Even reason itself ought not to be busy. The soul ought to have but one faculty active, the will to do good, the mind, but one idea, confidence of success.
Wow. Yep. It's all in attitude. It's all in the mindset you have. So you see people in Arizona, right? That's where you are, right? I think you're in Arizona.
That's correct.
Scottsdale. Okay, in Scottsdale, a lovely area. I love Scottsdale. So you see people there, but you also talk with people by phone, right? And help them. And you could, do you have good success when you do it by phone?
Well, I told you about the cancer patient I worked with.
Yes.
When I was doing the research in Canada, I did a lot of work with the hockey teams. And one of the coaches went to Italy. He was the Olympic coach in Italy when he had the Olympics, Winter Olympics in Italy. And I worked with some of the players over the phone there, and I worked with quite a few of the players in, his team. And, so one of the coaches I worked with in Minnesota went to Arizona. I mean, Tennessee. And he called me up one day. He says, "Ray," he said, I have an All-American tight end on crutches." It was Thursday. He says, "If this team wins two more games, they'll go to the Nationals." They've never been to the Nationals. I could sure use them. Can you work with them over the phone? Again, shortening the story. So I had him come in the office, and I worked with him about 20 minutes over the phone. He got off his crutches. He walked around. He went down to the trainer. The trainer said he's never seen anything like it. That night, he ran on the sideline with the team. He didn't practice with them. The president was impressed, and he flew me down the next day. And because of his play in the next two games, his play directly, they won both games, and they went to the Nationals.
Wow. That's great.
So from and all this stuff has been recorded, so, I mean, it's there. In fact, Norman Shealy, who we talked about earlier, brought me down to his clinic in Missouri to work and show and demonstrate on 10 of his patients of what we create possible of doing. And I saw one after the other.
So people can, your website is relieffouryou.com, easy, just no punctuation, relieffouryou.com. So if someone thinks you might be able to help, can they reach you through your website?
Yes, they sure can.
Great. Perfect. Well, sorry we've run out of time, but I'm delighted we had you here. I promise this is exciting to me. We'll talk more about this, you and I. So, but meanwhile, this has been Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes, and I'm delighted you could be with us today. Please never forget that you are a powerful, eternal being. You never began. You never will end. And when you really understand what that means, it's going to change everything in your life for the better. Next week, we're going to be talking with Peter Anthony. Until very recently, I was kind of ignoring near-death experiencers, primarily because early on, many of them insisted they had been dead and had been, revived, but they had been dead and had been to where the dead are. That's not true, according to the people who really are dead. And so I just didn't want to make a fuss with that. But we've recently interviewed Dr. Raymond Moody, who coined the term. And we've also had Barbara Bartolome, the founder and head of the Big IANS group in Santa Barbara. And both of them have said, they haven't really died. In fact, he's wonderful. Raymond Moody said, that's why I call them near-death experiences, because they didn't die. So I'm starting to become interested in some of the more prominent NDERs, and we'll be talking to one of them this week. This week we've been talking with Dr. Raymond Petras. He uses gratitude, forgiveness, and love and as practical tools. He told me he does. But more to the point, I'm coming to understand what he really uses is his ability to understand and work with the minds of these other people. I mean, these stories almost defy belief, but they happen, and he is, I think, one of the earliest practitioners of what is going to be the most common way people are going to have to really get better, to cure their bodies using their minds. As you know, my own nonfiction books are Liberating Jesus, My Thomas, a bunch of fun books, and for children, of course, The Fun of Meeting Jesus. My next fun book will be The Fun of Loving Jesus. We'll be talking about that shortly. Of course, if you want to talk to me about any of my books, or you really want to talk about anything at all, anything, contact me through robertagrimes.com, and I will answer your email. It takes me a few days now, but I will answer your email. Past episodes of Seek Reality are available on webtalkradio.net, realrevolutionradio.com, iTunes, iHeartRadio, and my wonderful friends at Dream Vision 7 Radio replay them a year later, which I just love. So if you have any ideas, I should just add, for people that you'd like to hear us talk with on Seek Reality, just be aware. I'm happy to hear from you and hear your suggestions. Once in a while, it turns out to be something wonderful, just as it has this week. I learned stuff. I love it when I learn new stuff, and I learned a lot today. Meanwhile, this has been Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Please enjoy and make the most of this coming week in our one reality. Never forget for a moment that you in particular, are a powerful and eternal being, and you are infinitely loved.
You've been listening to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Roberta blogs and answers questions at robertagrimes.com. Join us every week as we explore what the afterlife evidence and modern science combine to tell us is true about the one reality we all share. Knowing the truth changes everything.